Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. And this is the podcast for men who want to live with real purpose, fight for what matters, and never, ever, ever settle for less than God's best in your life. I'm your host, Brent Henderson, and remember, we are the resistance. Wow, guys, welcome back. This is a Monday. The sun is shining here. It's been raining for days. And this morning I got up and I was really anxious to get this thing, you know, written and recorded and get it out there. Because I love encouraging and empowering men who really want to be who God made them to be. Not just in their purpose and calling, but to invite them into adventure. God has that for you. Something that wakes up your heart the way that God made it to be. I've got this elk hunt coming up in Colorado in September, and I've been training really hard for that. It wakes up the adventure in me. The question of, you know, do I have what it takes? And it also goes right along with my purpose of sharing those adventure stories, you know, in my books and on the podcast. So it's really something I'm looking forward to. And it's worth all the hard work. You know, anything worth its spit, you know, really, you've got to work hard to get there. So Saturday night, a couple nights ago, Stacy and I were sitting outside this pizza place near Indianapolis. And she noticed there was a man who was sitting with his wife behind me, and he had on a Mountain Ops shirt. You've heard me talk about Mountain Ops. They're one of my sponsors. And so he and I get into this conversation about their products, which actually right now, as I'm sitting here, I'm drinking their new, it's called Prickly Pear Ignite. Really gives a lot of energy and a lot of focus, but I'm drinking that during the podcast because I got pretty drained over the weekend. It's been hot. I've been working, doing some stuff, you know, getting ready in the garage to be cleaned out, working on the house. And it really does help me with energy and focus when I need it. So anyhow, he mentioned he was going to be hunting in Colorado as well, and that Mountain Ops was going to be fueling his hunt. And so I love running into guys that I share common goals, you know, and likes with. We kind of become like a community of warriors, you know, like guys that shoot the same bow company, broadheads. You know, I shoot for Bear Archery, Grim Reaper broadheads, just a lot of different things. But you know what I'm talking about, something we share those purpose and things in common with. So I also told him about the Unleashed podcast. I told him if he wanted to get a discount. He loves Mountain Ops. I said, man, just type in the code word Unleashed at checkout. You'll save 20%. That's my personal code. You guys can do it too. And they really do. They have amazing products. Anyhow, to the brother that I met, if you're listening this week, welcome. I'm glad you're with us. And it was awesome to meet you. Good luck on your archery hunt. And brother, it is almost go time. For those of you who love whether you're elk hunting, bear hunting, you know, you like big bucks. Yeah, I said big bucks. You remember, okay, cue the soundtrack. I like big bucks and I cannot lie. Funny. Today, we're going to be talking about two things that a lot of guys are drawn to if they're honest. And so those would be big bucks. And here's the other side of this is beautiful women. Some of you just said, did he just confess that men are drawn to a beautiful woman? Yeah, I did. God created a woman, and he made her to be beautiful. You know, like the man at one of my men's retreats said one time, he says, you know, you can glance at a beautiful woman that first time, but it's the second look that's going to cost you something. And when he said that, every man at the retreat, this was in the mountains of Idaho, they all started cracking up. We're sitting outside and we were just busting out laughing when you have a group of men, because guys, men are wired the same way. But he was right. You know, you can't not notice a beautiful woman, but it's that second, third glance, what you begin to do with it, where the enemy tries to take you, is where things can get pretty iffy and dangerous. But, you know, as guys, we are wired to pursue. Was it John Eldridge, you know, a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue? He talks about those three things at the core of a man. But adventure is huge to us. The challenge, the risk, the reward. But the problem is, sometimes we find ourselves chasing the wrong thing. And we don't realize it until we're up to our necks or over our heads. So that's why today, I want to take you on a short hike down memory lane. And this starts with a trail. Now, if you're a hunter, you know exactly what I'm talking about when you're following trails. Where do they go? Where do they lead? How do they connect? How can I use these? And I was a young kid. I was probably about 13, I'm guessing, maybe 12. And we were just young boys, and we were about to start our very first, probably was 12. And we were about to start hunting for the first time, and we wanted to learn more and discover more. But what we discovered was something that we probably never should have found. So here's kind of the story, and I'll call this like the deer trail and the discovery. I know that's pretty lame, but the two of us had kind of hiked the mountainside since we were little boys together. And we could just imagine, you know, how big some of the deer were back in these places we were never allowed to get access to, because as young boys, you know, you had to be in when the streetlights turned on. You couldn't go past this line to go past this street, whatever it was. You had to be home. Your parents wanted to know where you were going to be. We didn't have cell phones yet. There were no GPS, no tracking kind of things. But we began to follow this narrow winding deer trail through this pretty hilly terrain in northwestern Pennsylvania. And it was clearly a used trail, heavily used. There was, you know, fresh rubs on the saplings. There were prints pressed into the damp soil. There were places where old oil wells in this area had leaked, and the oil was still kind of fresh on top of the ground, but it was hardened but damp. And these deer prints would stay in there for who knows how long, decades. But we knew that there were bucks that were going to bed deep in this section of the woods, because no one really kind of went down into this place. I mean, it was thick. It wasn't the easiest place to get to. And we weren't supposed to be that far from the house. But something about that trail, it dared us to follow it. Remember Simba in The Lion King, where, who was it? Well, his father, Mufasa, you know, tells him to never go to the elephant graveyard. You know, only the places of light touch. And was it the creepy uncle Scar? And he said something about only the bravest lions go there. So what did that do? He was trying to tempt Simba to go there because he had a trap set up for him. But he was trying to make it look adventurous, you know, adventurous. And that men would be only the bravest ones who could go there. Well, this whole thing being told not to go to a place, but we're following a deer trail with all this deer sign. And we've been told it's off limits. But the voice in our heads were whispering something like what Scar was doing, saying, you know, only the best deer hunters are going to go here. Well, against better judgment, that's where we went. But what we found wasn't, you know, deer antlers and deer beds. It was a lot more dangerous than that. So we go down this big hill into this really thick area, and we kind of make out like an old building. It was kind of like this big, kind of a big shack. It was rotting, the doors coming off the hinges, the smell of like almost like an old oil factory or something that was going where the old storage facilities in this place. And as we kind of creak open this door a little bit and peek inside, I mean, there was old tables, like it was a lunchroom or something. And so as we go in, there's like old cans laying around, old tools, old machines. And then we see like this, like a toolbox kind of a thing, but it was old. And as we open it, we found what we weren't expecting to see. And it was a girly magazine. And this is probably around 1972. And the two of us had never seen anything like this. I mean, both of us grew up in church. This was new to us. But when we began to flip through the pages of this, we both got quiet. Because there was a curiosity. There was something being wakened up inside of us that God made to be wakened up at the right time for the right purposes. But it was almost like the enemy led this trail right to this location so we would find this. And I'll tell you a story in just a little bit about how that affected me and where some of those things led. But I want to tell you a story about another guy. As another boy, years later, probably 30 years later, he was sharing with me. And here's kind of the story I put down about this kid. He was digging through a plastic tub in his garage, buried beneath a pile of his dad's hunting clothes. His father was pretty picky, as am I, you know, almost territorial. I mean, if you understand hunting, you are too, about anyone touching your hunting gear, which made the discovery this kid found feel even more off limits. He found a magazine, but it wasn't just tossed in the tub. It was hidden deep in between layers of camouflage. You know, that kind of hiding only comes, you know, from guilt, right? So when he asked his dad about it, the answer came way too quickly. And his son, he said, you know, that's for when we have the talk someday. He said, I kept it to show you when you're ready. But, you know, this kid, he knew. he knew that this wasn't for him to see in some talk with his dad someday. It was his dad's. But something in him twisted. Because if dad had this, you know, maybe it's not such a big deal. You can see the impact fathers have on sons and daughters. But that moment planted a seed, and it's a seed that he wouldn't recognize until years later. So now back to me and my story. It was maybe about 2 years later, I had a new friend, and I'll never forget one day, I was trying to be, you know, accepted by him and be cool, and he was one of those kids who was kind of looked up as being cool, but he handed me a cigar, I think it was a Swisher Sweet, if I remember right, and a couple of girly magazines. We were probably 14, and he passed them over like they were sacred contraband, right? Like it was the Holy Grail. He was entrusting me with this secret treasure. I didn't know what to do with them. But I wasn't about going to turn it down and not be cool in his sight. I wasn't going to just throw them away. What if he wanted them back? But somehow I was mysteriously drawn and I was curious still. You know, that thing we found in the woods piqued my curiosity, and this would be the next time I would see something. But this was a lot more explicit what he had given me. And there was a sense of shame, but there was also something about them that made me feel something I'd never experienced as a 14-year-old boy, because it was as if the inside of these pages contained the great mysteries of life that young boys wonder about. That's normal. But what I did was I took this stuff rather than, you know, going to my father and say, "Father, you know, I found these, or they were given to me, you know, I hid them." Where did I put these things? I put them in the basement of my parents' house. We had one of those drop ceilings with the flimsy white tiles that you can lift up. You probably remember some of those things. But I tucked the magazines and the cigar, that Swisher Sweet, above one of the panels, and I slid the tile back into place and acted, you know, just like nothing happened. But here's the thing. Everything had changed. Every time I walked past that ceiling tile, I knew what was up there. You know, I'd open the tile, I'd pull it down, I'd glance at it, think about it, and when no one was at home, I'd pull it down and look at it again. But that ceiling tile became a trap door. And what started as curiosity turned into a hiding place, a secret place for a lie I was being groomed with, and I didn't even know how to explain it. So let's go back to the other story of my friend I was telling you about. So this guy was about 30 years younger than I was. But by middle school, he wasn't finding porn magazines like we did. He had smartphones. You know, they've now entered into the picture. The ante has been upped quite a bit. So he remembers standing in a tight circle of guys near the edge of the schoolyard, kind of huddled around this glowing screen, and the boys passed their phone around like it was sacred. Each one of them, you know, taking turns, looking at it, smirking, laughing. Some just stared. But deep inside, shame was already taking root. You know, at home, when he'd get back there, he'd take his iPad. He'd sneak, views underneath his covers. You know, it started off, he said, with like watching some of these risky TikTok, Facebook reels, you know, that started kind of the curiosity and the coveting. At first, it was an occasional thing, but then it became nightly, then daily, then multiple times a day. And he didn't know it then, but every click was burning new grooves into his brain. He no longer wanted to just see scantily clothed women in reels. He was being reeled in by the enemy, you know, alluring him to see more. That's how it began. He was searching for images and videos that left nothing to the imagination. So those minutes turned into hours, and it left him feeling so ashamed that he kept going back to the same content, now get this, just to try and bury what was already putting him in the grave of shame. Isn't that funny? How the enemy tries to convince a man that by going back to the very thing that robbed him of his power in the beginning will somehow give him back his power. You know, porn, it doesn't just arouse. It rewires your brain. It trains your brain to crave pixels instead of people. It feeds off of curiosity. It feeds off of isolation. And it also feeds off emotional pain. You know, it's like that elephant in the room that I talk about. It continues to grow. That problem becomes massive. It becomes undeniable. And it's incredibly destructive. I've talked to you before on here about like the elephant. What they'll do is they'll push down a tree that's been growing for decades just to get one of the roots that has water. So that whole thing has been sitting there for 30 years, 40 years. That elephant can destroy in one moment. Was last Thursday morning, I think it was, I was meeting my buddy Kevin to work on the new Unleash book that I've been telling you guys about. And we were sitting there just kind of, you know, starting to drink our coffee. And he looks up from his coffee and he says to me, he goes, "Hey, did you see the video that's gone viral from the Coldplay concert?" And I'm like, "No, I kind of backed away from watching news and a lot of stuff. I really try to stay focused on a lot more positive stuff. Not that I'm unplugged, because a lot of things matter in this world. I just kind of have to measure how deep I go into that content, because I really want to focus on doing what I'm doing and creating some powerful stuff for guys to grow from, not, you know, things that are going to create more fear, more anxiety." But anyhow, he said, "Did you see it?" And I said, "You know, I have it." So he pulls out his phone and he tapped on the screen and he handed it to me. And there on the screen was a kiss cam. You know what I'm talking about, like the kiss cams. They'll catch you like at a football game or a baseball game or a concert. It was one of those kiss cam moments. And the camera was scanning the crowd, and it lands on this smiling couple. He's got his arms around her, and she's standing in front of him. They're just all snuggled in, swaying to the music. And in a flash, you could see something wasn't right. They froze. The woman immediately spins around, covers her face, and the man, who we found out was a CEO of a major company, ducks down behind her, trying to avoid being seen. They weren't married. Well, they were married, but not to each other. And in a single moment, their secret was out. The CEO, I just saw, and I was looking up for this episode, he resigned shortly after the video went viral. You know, the video was incredibly hard to watch. But what made it even harder was the look on their faces when they realized they'd been caught. If you've seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your stomach goes up into your throat. You know, we saw the shame. We saw the embarrassment. We saw the panic. And here's the truth. When we witness someone else's shame, it often stirs up our own, because we have experienced that. If you're human, you have experienced that. The enemy has led you down paths that you didn't know where you were going down, only to trap you in something. That's what today's episode is about. It's about learning how to break free, to follow the path that leads to healthy places and not destructive places. So, the elephant that knocks down the entire tree, that took decades to grow, just to get that root filled with water, what took years to build can be destroyed in a single moment. And that Coldplay video, that was a tree being knocked down in real time. A moment of false pleasure. You know, they followed a trail that maybe somehow looked harmless to them. I don't know how. But there were decisions that they made that somehow felt justified. But here's the thing. They were based on lies, and it all came crashing down in one viral moment. Lusting is coveting. It's the oldest sin in the Bible. It's wanting what we don't have, or think we need to have what we don't have. You know, we think that person, that image, that fantasy will finally satisfy this ache that we're feeling inside. You know, a man may run to porn. He may run to an affair when he feels like his wife isn't meeting his needs. But what he doesn't realize is that God is the one who completes him. Sorry to all the women out there who love the movie Jerry Maguire. You don't complete me, right? But a woman might not go to porn, although we see percentages now have jumped astronomically, but she'll go buy or binge on a steamy romance novel or some Netflix series, longing for the emotional intimacy that she feels like she's not getting at home. Both of those, whether the man's running to porn, the woman's running to the romance novels, it's both going outside the marriage to get their needs met. Both are coveting. Both are sin. Now, let me say that again. If you're going there to get your needs met rather than going to God, you have created an idol out of that. Both are sin. But here's the truth. If we aren't going to God first to get our deepest needs met, we won't be able to meet each other's needs either. And what's the result of that? Just like the couple on the camera, devastation. But I want you to know something. Maybe this is resonating with you. I have a feeling this is resonating with probably 90% of my male audience that I've got there. Listen to this. There's hope. There's forgiveness. That moment of being exposed for that couple we saw on that viral video might just be the doorway to healing and salvation. We don't know. If they're willing to be honest, you know, to repent, to turn from the shadows, there is a way forward, not just for them, but for you and me. When we break trust in a relationship, it's like making a massive withdrawal from a bank, and it takes a lot of deposits to build it back up. That's one of the consequences of sin. But there is restoration. It comes not through any self-help books, not through any amount of counseling, although that's all great. The root of it, of the true healing, comes through Jesus Christ. It comes when we stop chasing those substitutes and we start living from our true identity. That is where our needs are fully met, not in counterfeit comfort, but in Christ alone. So let me just say this, the truth about your identity, no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, you are not what you did last night. You are not the shame you carry. You are not the worst thing you've ever clicked on. You are a son of the living God. You are forgiven. If you're in Christ, then 2 Corinthians 5:17 is true. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. You're not just forgiven. You're new. My wife and I have been watching The Chosen, and every single time Jesus walks up to someone and they say, "You don't want to know me, you don't want to include me, whatever it is because of my sin," Jesus has a way of looking at them and saying, "Oh, I do know you and I love you, and I've come to invite you to follow me." Every single time I begin to cry, it's the craziest thing. I think it's because I've experienced that in my own life. I've made my own mistakes. And when I think Jesus has turned his back from me because there's this pile of dung between us, I open my eyes and he hasn't gone anywhere. He's right there in front of me, looking me in the eyes, telling me, "Son, I love you no matter what." So then, how do we kill the elephant in the room? How do we stop feeding it? You know, what's the deer trail in your life? The thing that's tempting you to cross the line, to go places that you know better than to go. Now, where are you looking for comfort, affirmation? Where are you looking for intimacy in all the wrong places? You'll know because those things will leave you feeling ashamed. God is not the author of shame. You will feel convicted because you are guilty. But at the same time, you can go back to his word. "He's cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more." His love is what draws you in, not the promise of these dark places that bring momentary pleasure. He will give you water that will last forever. So what are you hiding in those ceiling tiles of your life right now? Wow. Let me say that again. What are you hiding? Let me just leave it with that. What are you hiding? That thing that you are so afraid that if anyone knew, they wouldn't love you anymore. They wouldn't invite you. They would leave you. God already knows those things. And he still loves you. And he is inviting you to more. He's inviting you to get rid of that stuff so that you can have peace, so you can have joy. It's time to stop hiding. It's time to start healing. Today can be that day if you'll start seeking a real relationship with God that delivers life, and stop seeking counterfeit ones that always, always, always lead to death. Father God, you see every secret. You know where every ceiling tile is, where we have compartmentalized and hidden those things we don't want anyone to know about. You know the places we've wandered, the things we've clicked on, the shame we've carried, but you don't turn away. You come for us, like the 99 and the one. You go after that one lost sheep. So, Father, right now, I want to invite those listening to choose to stop running and to turn toward you. Father, we confess our sin and we receive your grace. We can't earn it. We can't work hard enough to get it. You offer it to those who call you Lord and Savior. Remind us who we really are. Break the chains. Father, heal that shame. Teach us how to walk in the light, fully known, fully loved, and fully free. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, if this episode hits home, you know, as always, I want you to take just 30 seconds and do a few things. It really helps. Give a like to the episode. Subscribe so you won't miss any future content, and share it with those that you know need to hear this, but doing it in a healthy way. You know, there's one thing of presenting the truth with an anvil. That's usually not going to buy a whole lot of friends. But being able to approach it by saying, I'm someone who needed to hear this, and maybe you would be too. So if you believe in what we're doing here and want to help us reach more men with the truth of who they are in Christ and help disciple them to go and do the same, go to unleash.men, click on the About tab, and you can hit the Donate button. And please keep praying for us. And every gift, no matter the size, every prayer, no matter how long, it makes a difference. That's how we continue to walk. So if you're also looking to bring the Unleashed message to your church, maybe a men's conference, sportsman's banquet, or men's retreat, you can also find all the booking information at unleash.men. You'll see I've got some reels on there, full videos, as a matter of fact, of some of the events, all kinds of stories, bio, pictures, you know, what others are saying, all that kind of stuff you have to have. But remember, you are not the sum of your sins. You are who God says you are. You are His beloved warrior. When a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. This is Unleashed, and we are the resistance. We'll see you next time.